Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing through the book of Philippians. I tell you what, we're going to start with the first two words of the verse that we're up to. It's Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. It says this, "So then," well, there you go. What does "so then" mean? Well, that means in light of everything we've seen up to this point in time, it's like a therefore. And we've seen several of these things. And so we're going to go back to the beginning of chapter 2, verse 1. Let me just read it to us. You know, we need to do this. Repetition is at the heart of learning something, of taking something internally. And so often we'll look at Scripture and say, well, man, that's like 12 or 15 verses. I don't have time to read that or to listen to that. And it takes like 90 seconds, folks, or 2 minutes maybe. I mean, I hear that. I'm doing it right now. I hear it all the time in teaching times and preaching times and pulpit reading times, all that kind of stuff. When people will get up there and they'll just go on and on and on about how they don't have enough time to read this. And if they had just read it instead of explaining why they weren't reading, they could have done it, you know. I'm committing that same sin right now, right? So here's Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Help us set the context. "Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit and intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now we resume at verse 12. "So then, in light of all that, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So the Spirit is leading Paul to say this. In light of everything, in light of what the Lord has done for us and how he is literally our example, that he is literally our model for how to live humbly before one another as believers and live humbly in the world. In light of that, then I'm asking you to do something. He said, "You have been great. You have obeyed the word, not only in my presence, not only when I was there, but you are also obeying when I'm absent, when I'm not with you." So he gives him this command, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Now, people freak out over that portion of Scripture all the time. And what he's saying is this. He said, "I want you to work out. I want you to accomplish your salvation. I want you to bring forth the effecting, the production of your salvation." It is not saying to work for your salvation. Such an important distinction here, folks. He's not saying that you have to keep working for it, working for it, working for it. No, no. Your salvation is attained by the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we respond to that. He's not saying work, work, work to attain your salvation. He's saying, no, you are saved. So therefore, I want you to work out the salvation. Okay, I want you to do the works of salvation with fear. And you know what that word fear means? It means fear. Okay. It's the word phobos, like phobia, you're fearful of something. But it really carries other translations also. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 other times in the scripture. It's translated as respect, as reverence, as in a sense of awe, A-W-E. In other words, to work out your salvation with this understanding of just how amazing it is that God has chosen us, how amazing that salvation is, how it has literally transformed our life, how he literally conforms us into his likeness. Now, is there a degree of intenseness with this fear and trembling? Well, yeah, it is. But it's not the kind of fear that we walk in, the fear that we'd walk and jump in a copperhead walking through the woods or something like that. No, this is in honor and reverence and in really wanting to do what is right. Okay? Wanting to do what is right. And he says, so I want you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Trembling. Tremos, which means quaking. Okay? So does that mean we're supposed to be walking around in anxiety all the time? No, not at all. Then what does it mean? It just shows the intensity, okay, the intensity, a profound reverence, a profound respect, even a profound fear of the Most High God. So he's saying this, I know you've been working this out, but now work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Verse 13, for it is God who is at work within you. Okay. Now it's interesting because that work out your salvation in verse 12, the Greek word is katagazamaya. Isn't that exciting to say? Which means to work it out, to produce it, to carry on with that commitment, okay, to perform it. In verse 13, where it says, for God who is at work, it's an entirely different Greek word, energeo. When you actually look at it, it looks like energy, okay? And it's to be at work, and it's to be able to bring about the effectiveness of that work, to provide that work. It is the Lord who is at work within us and that will enable us to work out our salvation. So God who is at work in you, both to will and to work, okay? In other words, the will, it means to wish it, that which is intended, that which is in desire, that the Lord is the one who does that. And it is he that will literally bring forth the effectual working out, is one phrase of this, okay? God is the one who makes it work. So the working out of our salvation with fear and trembling comes about because it is God who is at work in us. And he's the one that determines it, and he's the one that energizes and empowers it. And he does it all for his good pleasure, for his desire, because it is well-pleasing to him. Now, just think about that. Let me read these two verses, then we'll be done, okay? So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The Lord is the one that is empowering. The Lord is the one that is energizing. We just have to abide in him and agree with him, and it will be him that is working out our salvation, and that awe and that wonder and that fear and that trembling of the fact that it is the very Most High God himself, Father, Son, and Spirit, dwelling within us as true believers, that is doing this work for his good pleasure, because he desires. I tell you, that's crazy, is it not? Anyway, my time is up. I'm Dale. Thank you so much. I'll see you again next time. Goodbye.